This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It feels so good to be back, BT. I've missed you. Those damn boxes, my damn wife. I need to talk some sports.
Let's go.
Now,
let's go.
One thing that bothered me here.
My damn wife.
She's not listening.
Yeah, no. Come on. She's doing the rest of the boxes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, honey, get to work. Your turn. We said enough to each other over the last 4 days. Yeah. So I see these comments from Mara, and I feel like he's an owner that has the right intentions. I think he means well. Problem is he's meddling. Why are you even in team meetings? Like, in a season, why is he in team meetings? And then talking about Barkley more specifically, where, you know, you can give your feelings after the fact, you know, all my grandkids have Barkley jerseys and this or that. You know what I took from that? While I know he's trying to connect with the fan base, the reality is I believe he is the reason the Giants didn't trade him last year at the trade deadline. If you read between the lines, you know, the Giants kept Saquon Barkley. Why? If essentially they thought they were going to be gone, I guarantee you Joe Shane's smart enough to know that he likely would be. And I'm not saying I would or wouldn't. I'm saying what they did. They kept him, and then they lost him. And I think it's an owner, BT. I read all those comments. I feel like Mara's meddling too much with the Giants.
I hear you, but I got to tell you, I've been pretty critical of John Mara the last couple of years. I think most Giant fans have. You respect him as a person, good, very decent, charitable man. But in terms of getting his fingerprints on these Giants the last couple of years, really last decade or so, I don't think he's done a great job. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with what you said now. I don't agree with any sentiment that thought that the Giants should have traded Saquon. And I'll tell you why. You go back to now, the trade deadline was October 31st. The Jet-Giant game was October 29th, right? That eyesore. Oh, God, how gross was that game? Wow.
Right. I don't loosely described as a game.
Yeah, it was a punt fest, and the Giants were going backwards with DeVito, terrified to move forward.
Breakout game.
That's right. Yeah, they talked about it on national TV.
Yeah, right.
Woo! Anyway, so the Giants dropped to 2-6 at that point. And listen, you watched the Giants, and you knew that optically and just from a manpower perspective, the Giants were going nowhere last year. However, this thought that the Giants would have gotten anything of significance for Saquon Barkley, I think, is incredibly far-fetched. Like, I've heard, I don't know if it was Evan, and I'm not taking a shot at Evan, but I think it was Evan when he was going back and forth with Tiki, like, threw out the thought, well, maybe the Giants could have got a first-round pick. Are you crazy? Or a second-round pick? Maybe the Giants could have coerced a fifth-rounder out of somebody.
Well, it's better than nothing. Well,
I knew you were going to say that, and you're right. Literally, it's better than nothing. But I think that When you evaluate the situation then, even though we knew the Giants were going nowhere, you know, Green Bay made the wild card at 9-8. At 9-8. And the Giants on the back end of the schedule had a couple of games that we thought that they could win, which they actually did. So,
but if it's the owner's decision, that's where I have a problem. Forget about whether it was right or wrong to trade him, to not trade him.
Yep.
It's that I don't want the owner meddling, and I feel like Mara is.
Okay, so do I think that he meddled at that point? I do. That's why when we started this, I said, I hear you. I think he's changing a little bit because I think he knows he needs to. Think about that. Everybody's reacting to the text message where he said that he was sick, or what was the word that he used?
He said he was sick.
Sick. Okay. So basically said he's heartbroken. This didn't work out. Well, you know, if he would have remained married to sentimentality, he would have stepped in and usurped the power of his new general manager and said, hey, listen, Shane, I know that you guys don't think that he's worth $30 million guaranteed. He means too much to me, and he means too much to the fan base. Doesn't matter what you want to do, he's staying. Get the contract done, no matter what it is, no matter how punitive it is in terms of the cap and the de-emphasis of the running back, get it done. He did the exact opposite. When it came time to really lay out, and let the people that he hired do their job, John Mara did that.
Right. He does it, but, like, his presence, they're like, yeah, I didn't like it. I let everybody know my feelings on it, but ultimately I let them make the decision. Even the same thing. Oh, no, I know Dable's not acting. I want him to be himself, but if it gets a little too much, then I'll let him know, and I don't think it's too bad because I've been in on team meetings. Like, the owner, and look, he's the owner, can do whatever he wants. But to have success, I don't think that the owner should be in on team meetings or telling Dable how he should be, how he shouldn't be, scrutinizing every move, giving his input on how much he loves Barkley or how much he believes in Daniel Jones. Oh, I believe Daniel Jones in 2022. Like, no offense. I don't care what he's the owner. I get it, and I respect that, but I care what the football people say about him.
Yeah.
Not what the owner says about Daniel Jones. What Joe Shane and Brian Dable say about Jones and Barkley and how to build a team, that's what matters. Not what John Mara says, and I feel like his presence is too large, looming over every decision, if not flat out meddling in the decisions that the Giants are making. You know, I think it's hurting them.
I'm sorry, Sal, but you know what's funny? You think about that meddling owner. You think about that big shadow that's loud.
Like Jerry Jones,
like George Steinbrenner back in the day, like a few others. It's actually the opposite. He might have his fingerprints on some things, but nobody doubts that. But he's more docile than explosive or just, you know, inserting himself into the story. I think he prefers to lay in the background. Listen, I don't think it's been a great ownership run at all. I don't think really lately, I don't think anybody does. There's been way too many failures, way too many bad decisions, way too many GMs, way too many coaching changes. The way it went down with Coughlin, optically, it looked really bad when he walked off that stage. But think about this. Why I disagree with you, Sal. Think about the two most important decisions that the Giants have had up until this point, and then obviously that changes with draft night coming up soon. Number one, what to do with Saquon. Eventually, and he walked toward the edge of the plank, but he didn't jump. He stepped back, and he let the football people do what they had to do. Number one. Number two, the most recent story is that he's given them their blessing. Hey, if you want to draft the quarterback, right, even though Daniel Jones. Well, I hear you.
Like, why? I guess that's my point, too. Why do we need his blessing?
Well, because it's his team.
No, it's not. He's the owner. It's Joe Shane and Brian Dable's team to make the decision with as far as personnel. He even says, well, I'm an owner who lets, you know, the personnel decisions be made by Shane and Dable, unless it's like something off the field issues, that's fine. But then stop. Like, the best, stop talking then. Because his words.
Was at the owner's meeting. They're asking him questions.
No, I understand.
Tugging everybody's out. Yeah, you got Woody talking about bringing back Zach Johnson.
Yeah, I
Zach
understand.
Wilson, you prefer that?
That's a different thing, and we'll get into that. But for me, it's more about his presence. And because they've been such successful owners for a long period of time.
I think, what, 05? That sound right, though? 05, thank you.
What?
Where John officially came in.
Okay.
In Wellington, yeah.
Well, they've been the ownership, you know, the Mara family, whatever. They've had such an established foundation that it's like everybody runs to them and runs to the top, that their voice is so powerful and so meaningful, even as it pertains to individual players. It just, to me, the best-run organizations are one where the owner provides the resource to the team to do whatever they can to win.
Sure.
And gets the hell out of the way and allows the general manager and head coach to make those decisions. And I feel like while Mara has the right intentions and sometimes does and says the right things, his presence looms too large. He's not enough in the background as an owner. Even the fact that we would get his thoughts, specific thoughts, on Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, I think is an issue.
Yeah, but Sal, I don't think that this is different really with any other team. I mean, you go to the owners' meetings, you discuss the rules changes, and some things have happened. We could probably throw those in later as well. And you're asked about Saquon Barkley, who just went to one of your rivals, your most despised rival. You're asked about the sixth overall pick. Daniel Jones coming off a knee injury, $40-plus million. They can get out of it after this year. These are questions he's going to be asked.
Yeah, I think
unless he doesn't show up, what do you want him to do?
And he says, I think Daniel Jones is more like the 2022 Daniel Jones. And he, like,
well, you know, but actions speak louder than words. You're not gonna take Daniel Jones.
But we've also, let's go based off
take his knees out, but, you want to show him respect. And what you do on draft night will tell us exactly what he thinks of Daniel Jones' future.
But I agree with you, actions speak louder than words, but I'm combining his words with past actions. We've all said the reason why they've held on to Jones and Barkley too long was because of the ownership, specifically Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. And then we find out more details about Barkley. I feel like if the presence wasn't looming of ownership, then maybe they would have traded Saquon Barkley at the deadline, and they would have been better off for it, and it would have stung a lot less. You would have not only gotten whatever pick that they had gotten, but it also wouldn't have been like, oh my God, he jolted us for the Eagles. Like, come on.
Well, but his contract.
Which one is it? You're either in or you're out.
Like, he still could have gone to the Eagles, because if he was dealt before October 31st, say if he got dealt to the Steelers.
But it still would have stung a little bit less.
No, I agree. You probably would have gotten a fifth or something. I'm not saying you would have walked away empty-handed like the Giants walked away now, but listen, these are very delicate, emotionally driven decisions and situations. That's why I use the word sentimentality.
Right.
And I appreciate the fact that John is tapped into, he's not a heartless, soulless owner. Like, when you straddle that line too often, like familiarity with the players, and again, being emotionally connected to them, that can blur and distort your way of doing business, but ultimately it didn't, because no matter how much affection Mara has, and will always have, but had in the past tense as a Giant, for Saquon, he stepped away, and no matter how much he wants this Daniel Jones thing to work, we know it's not going to. We know they're going to take a quarterback. He's going to step back with that as well. And by the way, it's not like he's owned the team for 5 years, and they've been, a dumpster fire for 5 years. The man's won championships.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's perfect, but
he's also run the thing into the ground the last several years.
I agree. That's why I've been all over him. I think the Giants have lost their way, but maybe this is the way to get their way back by stepping aside.
Yeah, I feel like there's just too much of an impact on decisions, whether it's indirect or not, from ownership. And put yourself in the shoes of Brian Daboll. Mm-hmm. And I get that the media is going to ask questions about, do you believe in Shane and Daboll, and how about, him fighting, whatever. And some of the comments from Mara, while they were very supportive, saying, I fully believe these are the guys, nothing's promised, I believe these are the guys, and, if at times I feel like he gets out of control, I'll let him know. Like, is that somebody that you'd feel comfortable working for? Or somebody like Woody Johnson, who, I know he's not totally out of the picture, but Woody doesn't speak about individual players or people, whether it's a head coach or general manager, the way that Mara does. There's like this looming presence that, to me, would make me a little scared to work for him. Like, I'd rather just let me be free and easy. And if I screw up, fire me. Do what you got to do. But let me be me. And I feel like his presence can be detrimental. And by the way, they've had such turnover that, think about it, whether it's the head coaches, general managers, certain players, I don't think there's any way to dispute his impact in a negative way in recent years.
Oh, I think from the time that he assumed ownership, I think that it's been much more down than up. I don't think anybody would dispute that, despite the two really, really high points with the Lombardis here. But I think that when you look at, like, him sitting in our meetings, right? Just imagine, now we meet as a show, every day, and, Spike's getting ready to leave us, but before Spike, he still hasn't left. Has he left?
I haven't seen
him in a while. But before he officially leaves, and we'll still hook up once in a while just to structure things, and we've got a show here, we're doing this, we've got this coming up down at DJ's Belmar, like, just to get things together from a show and a station point of view. Imagine if these meetings were irrational, and word on the street was that our boss, for now, Spike, was a tyrant or just out of control, this unchecked ego, and it was detrimental to the station. You don't think Chris Oliveiro, who was our ultimate boss, would have the latitude to walk down and say,
right,
all right, what the hell's going on in these meetings? I'm just going to watch. I'm going to observe.
Yeah.
That's what bosses do.
I know, but if you had every higher up and the owner of the company in these meetings, then you'd feel a certain way about it. And I just don't look. Let's see them prove it. Let's see the Giants go out there and have success, sustained success, which they have not had in years. Those comments from the owners' meetings yesterday, to me, I read them. While I didn't think they were the worst thing ever, I felt like coming away from that, instead of being encouraged that, okay, Mara gets it and I'm happy that he's the owner of the team that I root for, I felt like, you know what, he's saying that he's not meddling, mm-hmm. but I think he is meddling. And I do think it hurts the Giants to a certain extent. BT and Sal on the Fan are friends of Town Fair Tire. Remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Sal, real quick, yeah. What should he have said? What, if he said X, Y, and Z, you would have been more on board. Like, hey, that's just, your change thing? Think, like, yeah, completely
yeah,
defer?
I think less detail. I don't need specifics on how he feels about players. And also knowing the facts that they didn't trade Barkley last year for a reason. And by the way, I said at the time, I wouldn't have traded him. However, I would have tried to sign him. I know things change and all that, but I think they made a mistake there. You can't just let a player walk for nothing, even if it meant that you get an extra pick. What if that extra pick could have been the difference in trading up in this year's draft for a quarterback? Like, you can't say that it couldn't have been.
I can't, but I don't think, you know, practically speaking, that it would have been.
Well, you don't think they would have gotten at least a fourth rounder for Saquon
no.
Barkley?
No. I think maybe a fifth.
I think they would have probably gotten a fourth. And
for
if
half
anything,
a season for a running back?
I mean, you've seen some of the values of the... Look, all right, either way, it would have been an extra pick.
It would have been something, to your point. Yeah. I'm not saying it would have been nothing, but, you know...
And not only an extra pick, it could have been an extra pick and made your team a little bit worse in season, which could have led to a higher pick.
I'm not saying tanking, but
I'm saying the thought process at the time has to be, we're not good enough to go to the postseason this year. Mm-hmm. We're likely not. Like, Joe Shane is smart enough to see down the road. We're likely not going to be in a spot where we're going to sign Saquon Barkley. We'd like to, but it'd have to be at the right price. It'd have to be a perfect circumstance. Even if they were surprised that Barkley ended up getting what he got, ultimately, they weren't really close on that. So why not foresee that and say, oh, and by the way, if a byproduct of getting an extra pick for a player who we're likely not retaining is losing and maybe getting a higher pick, mm-hmm. but then the owner steps in and you feel, even if he doesn't step in directly, you feel him over you saying, you know, I love this player.
Yep. Would you rather have somebody like John Mara, who maybe allows his heart to get in the way a little bit with certain things, even extending Eli's run, which is why you drafted Saquon and why they waited so long to go to Geno Smith and the way they did it? I mean, there's been a lot of mistakes with the Giants over the last 10 years. Everybody knows that. But would you prefer that type of ownership, or, and I know the Knicks are in a great spot, won again last night, we'll hit him later, DiVincenzo was banging last night, or somebody like Dolan, who seems emotionally detached from the team. What's more, I'd rather have Mara.
No.
I mean, I'd rather have the ownership that I feel like lives and dies with the team. And I know Dolan wants to win. I get that.
Right.
He's changed the last couple of years for the good. He's kept his fingerprints off the Knicks and let his basketball people do their job, which is very, very gratifying. But I don't know. I don't mind if my owner has this affection for some guys on the roster, because I don't. Now, if they would have given him $35 million guaranteed because of Mara, I'm sitting here saying, dude, you messed up. You let your heart get in the way of business. Didn't happen.
You think it was comfortable working for George Steinbrenner?
No.
Okay. And that's kind of my point. While Mara is a much nicer, maybe level-headed version of George Steinbrenner, where that presence is undeniable. And he, now again, to his credit, he says he's going to step back and let the coaches and you know, Shane, in this case, Shane and Dable specifically, make their decisions. But feeling that presence, where Steinbrenner, you wouldn't just feel his presence. Mm-hmm. He'd come in and start firing people left and right. But I think there's an in-between that Mara is at.
Yeah, I think he's perfect.
Like, I like Dolan now because...
Well, because they're winning.
Well, because it feels like you don't hear anything about him or from him.
Yeah.
That's what an owner should do. Give the resources to... Like, this is Leon Rose's team.
Yep.
That's how I want it. I want it to be Joe Shane and Brian Dable's team. Now, Leon Rose had to earn this being his team. At first, Dolan gave him the keys, just like he did with Phil Jackson. To Dolan's credit, he has tried. He's just failed. He gave the keys to Phil Jackson. Didn't work out. Gave the keys to Leon Rose. It has worked out. But this is Leon Rose's team, not Jim Dolan. And with Mara there, I still feel like it's Mara's team. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get to your calls on the other side. We'll work in the Jets as well. You mentioned it, BT, with Woody talking about Zach Wilson. Can he really be back for another year? Plus, plenty of baseball to get to, just days away from opening day as well. You mentioned the Knicks, your boy DiVincenzo going nuts. Yeah, but it was against the Pistons.
I mean, maybe you show the man a little respect at some point. Fellow Italian.
Okay, do it in the postseason.
This is them all year.
Yeah, come on, with these records now, with the league, no defense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Today is Jersey Mike's Day of Giving. 100% of all proceeds will go to local charities in your neighborhood. There's no better day than today to visit your local Jersey Mike's, and you too can become a sub above. For more info, visit jerseymikes.com. Thank you to Jersey Mike's. They brought in some sandwiches for the show. Already enjoyed one. I was starving.
Would you go with a little provolone and ham? What'd you
have?
Yeah,
I did.
You did?
A little provolone, ham, and salami.
Oof.
And they smell so good.
Oh, dude, I'm going to dig in pretty soon. I'll tell you, I've said this a few times because this is not the first time we've done this with Jersey Mike's where, you know, if you have kids of the age where you're running from field to field and school event to school event, Jersey Mike's is a big staple in the home. You know, so, what do we eat tonight? Let's go to Jersey Mike's.
Comes in, and pretty soon it's going to be Jersey Sal's going to Jersey Mike's. Yeah. They officially
How'd that go last couple days, buddy?
Oh, my God.
How many arguments did you have?
I mean, enough.
Yeah. A couple, right?
Oh, enough to think, like, am I sure I want to, A, move in with her, B, stay married?
Here's an idea, honey. How about you go to Jersey, I'll stay here. No,
it's just a lot.
It's
man.
A lot. It's moving a lot of duress, and it's a lot of moving parts.
You think you're done, and you never are. There's all this, just the logistics of an absolute nightmare. So it's nice to get back to work here and have some fun talking sports, take your mind off of it a little bit. You know, the other thing about the Giants, BT, and we started talking about 877-337-6666, by the way. We started talking about Mara, and for me, what I took as, I don't want to say negative, but I took his comments as being a meddling owner. Now, in that same conversation, he said, yeah, I would hope, like, to me, this should go without saying. Why does Mara have to say you can take a quarterback or not? So he gave his full blessing on if they fall in love with a quarterback, they can pick one, whether it be at number six or moving up. But, like, isn't that known? You hired the general manager. Shouldn't he do what he wants to do? Oh, thank you, Mr. Owner. I have your permission if I want to trade up and take a quarterback or select one at number six. Like,
quote, ready? Everybody in the building wants Daniel to succeed, but you never let that get in the way of making a judgment that if there are people coming out in the draft who have a chance to be franchise-type players, you take them. So if I'm a Giants fan, I'm sitting here saying, that's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
We're good.
Well,
business is open.
I'd hope that that's the case.
Yeah.
Now, they need to take a quarterback because if they don't, it's going to be a problem.
Well, they need to take the right quarterback.
Well.
You don't just take a quarterback, otherwise you get back where you are with Daniel Jones.
Right, but the problem is if you don't get the right quarterback, you're back where you are with Daniel Jones. So if you don't get a quarterback, whether it's the right quarterback, a new quarterback, there may be a guy that we don't find out, maybe doesn't look at the right quarterback now, but he turns into the quarterback. Daniel Jones ain't it. We've definitively said that, right? Daniel Jones ain't it. Do you think Joe Shane realizes that Daniel Jones ain't it?
Yes.
Do you think John Mara does?
I don't even think that they wanted to give him the extension. I think that they had to. The way he played against Minnesota on the road, playoff win.
Yeah, plus the owner.
And the owners, yeah.
You don't think that... What was Joe Shane to date his biggest mistake?
What was Joe Shane's biggest mistake to date? I would say giving Jones the contract.
Has to be,
although,
right?
But that's also a little bit of a lazy response. It was responsibly structured.
I understand that for 2 years. Right, for 2 years. But also now you're looking back at it, they're getting screwed this 1 year now paying a quarterback, you know, $40 million. It's not worth $40 million a year. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. So, yes, at the time, it was at least smartly structured. It was like a balance between what Mara would want and what Joe Shane maybe would really want. Okay, we'll do you the favor and extend him, but only, you know, after 2 years we could get out of it.
Uh-huh.
They did not think the whole thing was going to blow up in year two or year one of that deal. And it did. But I feel like Mara, again, had his impact felt, his presence felt on that move right there. We need to, look, it's over for Daniel Jones. Giants need to move on from Daniel Jones, but I feel like the owner is preventing them from making that clean cut on, you know, the quarterback situation, which to me, if they don't get a new quarterback, whether it's the right guy or not, we'll learn. If they don't get a new quarterback, then we're going to be in the same spot. Frank is in East Hanover, New Jersey. What's up, Frank?
Hey, BT, Sal, big first-time caller.
All right.
I'm listening. I'm 25 years old, so, you know, I was a little younger when I seen the Giants 2 Super Bowls. Obviously, we've had some lean years here. I just wanted to call, Sal, I usually don't agree with you. I'm going to be honest with you, but I think you make, like, a terrific point here. You guys are talking about Dolan and Mara. Like, I think, personally, like, Dolan, we see it with the Rangers. Sal, you're a Ranger fan. You see it. He's got no input on the Rangers. Every year, they're competing. We're starting to see it with the Knicks right now. They're starting to compete. They're letting Leon do what he's got to do. I think I completely agree. Mara's got to take a step back. I mean, obviously, going to BT's point, like, they're asking him questions, so he's got to have to answer them. But I think we're starting to see with the Giants, like, he's taking a step back. I think he really does believe in what Shane and Dable got going on here. I mean, obviously, letting Saquon walk for nothing, I guess you could say that's a point in where they're trying to turn the stride over and trying to get out of the
Frank, hold on a second. I got a question for you, Frank, here. So, okay.
Tell me.
I got you. See, I think Mara's a little heavy-handed here, whatever, if you can use that description. Did you want Saquon to get a long-term deal, yes or no?
Ah, oh, man.
Just yes or no?
It's a good question.
It's an easy answer.
No, I didn't.
Okay. I thought that you'd say that. So I just asked Frank, did you want him to get a long-term deal? He said no. Well, guess what? He didn't. All right, but if it was up to Mara, he would have. And I was going to ask him, but I think he just dropped there. Do you want them to draft a quarterback if it's the right guy at 6 or move up to 4, whatever you're going to do, drop back 2-3 spots? And I'm sure his answer would have been yes. And guess what? Mara's going to let them do that. So when you say that Sal's right, it's not about being right or wrong, when you say Sal's right or Mara's too involved, but I'm giving you evidences to him not being too involved.
Yeah, he says the right things.
But he did it with Saquon. He said it, but he loved him, but he let him walk.
Right, but he also probably prevented them from trading him. He basically admitted that in his comments.
Yeah, we got to get over that. I'm not. That was a little gaffe. It wasn't some monumental mistake. He got a fifth round pick.
Understood, but it still shows him meddling a little bit. I just feel like, BT, he says things that he wants us to believe that he's hands off, but his presence says enough. He is hands-on. Also, he is the reason to blame post-Coughlin, whether it's sticking with Jerry Reese too long, whether it's hiring McAdoofus, whether it's hiring McAdoofus and then firing McAdoofus quickly, whether it's putting his hands on the... Well, Eli Manning.
Yep.
McAdoofus made actually the right decision to move on from Eli Manning at the time. Mm-hmm. Whoa, no. Mara said that's not going to happen on my watch. And then that's just a snowball effect that led to the disaster that the Giants have been in. Now, 2 years ago was the aberration, obviously. They made the postseason. We finally felt like they got it right. Remember, you went over the names with Gettleman, Shermer, Joe Judge, whatever. But they hire Shane and Dable. It finally feels like, all right, the building has been cleaned here a little bit.
A little bit.
The windows have been open. You aired it out, whatever. These two guys, fresh. They had a great year one. They warn that, hey, it's not going to be, you know, like this moving forward, too. There might be some lumps here. We're still rebuilding. And, you know, then there were even issues with that, with Dable, and then people go right to Mara. Oh, do you like Dable's antics? Like,
I got a question for you. You think Steve Cohen's too involved? Because Steve Cohen does the same thing.
No. It's a great question.
And I'm okay with it.
It's a great question. The one difference is the Mets needed a big presence to come in and change the organization. Now, moving forward, it should be less and less, where it shouldn't be Steve Cohen saying, I want this player.
Okay. Like, I can respect provide that. The money. That's a good answer. I
provide
can respect
the
that.
Money, yes, and yep. the resources. That's what you want the owner to do. But also, you have to let them do their job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our boss, I know you love the analogies, whatever. Our bosses may have in their mind what they want us to do.
Sure.
But they can't come in and do it. Otherwise, they'd be doing it. They need to let us do our job.
Well, they need to let us be us.
Correct. So, and now, to Mara's credit, he said, I'm going to let Dable, he's got to be himself. But it's also like, yeah, but. But if I felt like he got out of line or I was in on team meetings watching, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know if our bosses were sitting here in this room, I probably wouldn't feel as comfortable being myself doing the show. Although at this point, I really don't even care. It is what it is. What are you going to do? Like, fire me. I'll figure it out. So,
boy,
but you know what I mean?
Boy, like, that changed quick.
Well, but there's still
and by the way, I agree. I'd love for them to sit in. I wouldn't feel. I'd feel unaffected.
Well, the first, like, let's say the first week.
I mean, listen, when I first came to the fan with Tiki, the second show, if they're staring at me, I'd be a little, uptight. But they can sit and watch every day. I don't care.
Right, but now, yes. But Dable, it's, you know, his first year as a head coach.
Yeah.
And now, it's, you know. I know we're still early on in the process.
Yeah, but if he was a raving lunatic, don't you think that Mara had the right to at least see what's going on?
Mm.
Or perceived raving lunatic? I do.
I guess, but it just changes the feel. Like, I think it should get to a point where Mara is so above things that Shane should be the one to look at those things and be in the team meetings and be on the headsets and then take it to Mara and say, look, we may have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Not Mara being like, oh, I need to see what's going on. Now, I know you're the owner. I get it. But I think it's just a little too much. Dave is in Paterson, New Jersey. What's up, Dave?
Hello, Dave.
What's up, guys? How are you? I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and the Giants and Steelers are very similar franchises family-wise. Pittsburgh owners, they don't get in the way. Look at Jerry Jones. That doesn't work. So the Maras, they should not, you know, be overbearing. You know, it just does not work.
Well, do you hear Rooney? Now, you would maybe know more about this than I would, Dave, but is Rooney getting in? Like, do you hear him talking about, oh, I loved Kenny Pickett. I can't believe we dealt him. Or does it feel like Tomlin and the Steelers hierarchy are making those decisions and the ownership is out of the way, letting the personnel or letting the players and coaches that they employ to do so do their jobs?
I think they let the personnel do their jobs because, look, they got rid of Pickett. It was lasting a little longer than it should have, but they don't sit on this.
Did Rooney come in and say, oh, I love the kid. We drafted him. He's a really good kid. We failed him. Like, no.
Not that I heard of. No, not at all. If we heard about it, Matt, Pittsburgh's a small market, so you might not hear everything either.
Right.
But we didn't hear about that.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. I'm not a Steelers fan. I don't know. Like, maybe I missed that quote or whatever it may be.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah, and I didn't see all the other owners speak. I really don't care. We care about what
Rooney lays out more. Right, there's no question.
But that's the point, right?
Yeah.
And even with the fire about Tomlin, like, you don't hear a peep
generally. It's on lockdown there. Here's the thing, though. You didn't hear much when Coughlin, when the Giants were doing well, Mara stayed out of the, stayed out. You know, when it got a little messy, that's when he inserted himself into the equation, which I don't have an issue with.
Right. I mean, I just, he's in between. He's not as extreme as maybe some people are hearing me say that it is.
I don't think he's extreme at all.
Right.
I think he's ever present to an extent.
I don't think so either. But me saying this, maybe someone's like, oh, he's not like
Jerry. Yeah, I got you.
I'm not saying
he's bombastic.
Correct. He's not that level. He's in between. But I think his presence is so large and the story New York Giants franchise that it does have an impact. Not in a good way. You need to let Shane and Dable handle this thing for good or for worse, then make a decision. But for now, stop with the Daniel Jones stuff, the Saquon Barkley stuff, Dable's personality, the team meetings. I don't want the owner in on that stuff. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. We'll get into the Ohtani stuff. We'll get into some Jets as well, with Zach Wilson potentially being back. You know, Mets Yankees, as we get closer to opening day, BT, I know we'll be doing a lot on that tomorrow. And then, of course, Thursday on opening day. I can't even believe it.
I can't wait for this baseball season.
Yeah, me neither.
Wait.
And I don't know if it's because, like, I'm just going through chaos with the move and all that stuff. But, like, it feels like we've been talking about it for months. The build-up for months. And now here we are, just days away.
And it's the first season. And you said this about a week or so ago. For all the conversations we've had, the screaming, the laughs and everything in between, you know, the Yamamoto stuff, the Soto stuff, which is ongoing until it's not. We've never gone through a full season together. We've gone through a couple of months together. Wait till we open up the cage on Thursday.
I can't wait to watch meaningful games, not only individually, but together as a show, and have that storyline play out throughout the course of the year. So we'll get into plenty of that. Right now, though, we're talking about the Giants and, you know, Mara's comments yesterday. 877-337-6666. EJ is on Long Island. What's up, EJ?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Just for full disclosure, as a Giant fan, my Giant fandom begins and ends with the Mara family, for whatever that's worth. So, Sal, and this is the reason I called. I heard you say that the Giants have to, you use the word have to, get rid of Daniel Jones. So I'm wondering if I could ask you a couple of follow-up questions.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So actually the follow-up question would be if they don't, or when, what's the timeline for that statement? And if they don't, where do you think the Giants are going to go? Like, how far downhill? Like, what's the next direction?
Well, I mean, so you're saying, what, if they don't get a quarterback this year, it's going to... Either way, Daniel Jones is likely going to start the year for the Giants. I would say either way, he's likely not going to finish it, whether it is somebody else taking over or him getting hurt himself. Daniel Jones cannot be on the New York Giants football roster the following season. This upcoming season, to give him a pass with the contract, anything beyond it'd be a disaster.
Let me ask the question a different way. Yeah. You think it's indisputable that the Giants can't have success with Daniel Jones?
Correct.
That's your opinion.
Well, ultimate success. They've already proven they could have some success.
Okay, so based on what? Because he can't stay healthy?
Based on a lot of things. He can't stay healthy, number one. He can't throw the football, number two. Those are two pretty big things.
Why can't he throw the football?
I don't know why he can't. He just can't. I mean, look at the numbers. You need me to spell it out for you? This is not my opinion. This is a fact. He's been in the league for
six. He's playing football, not catch. Okay? So it's a little more involved throwing a football than just having a catch.
Yeah, but EJ, hold on a sec. I hear you. It's certainly more complex than we make it out on the radio, whether it's us or you.
Right.
We all know that, but it's a passing league, and I don't think anybody thinks that Daniel Jones is ever going to be an elite throw of the football for all the holes that they have. But EJ, hold on.
Let's rotate through a whole bunch of good quarterbacks and let them get sacked constantly and not protect them.
You believe in him a little bit more than we do. I'm not going to get mad at you for that. I think Daniel Jones is competent. I think Daniel Jones is a really good athlete, a really smart young man. I think he's respected by his teammates. I don't think he's an elevator, though. I don't think you'll ever stay. Daniel Jones could play for 15 years in the NFL with a great offensive line. Daniel Jones has never thrown 35 touchdowns. He's just not. And all the great ones do. Mahomes, Burrow. I mean, you know the quarterbacks who are coming. Come on. Let alone all the guys from the past. So if the Giants were set up differently, meaning if previous GMs did a better job up until this point, yeah, Daniel Jones would look better, but when you're making $40-something million, you got holes to plug everywhere. It's not tenable. He's not going to be here past this season.
Yeah, you sound like the owner now. You fall in love with certain things about him, and I understand that. I do get it, where there are things about Daniel Jones that are appealing.
No question.
His demeanor, his leadership, his toughness. That's probably my number one thing that I love about him. He's tough as nails.
He is.
He's not afraid to take a hit. Now, the problem is, his style of play, he's not the best runner. He's a good runner. Mm-hmm. He's not the fastest. He's not the best. He's a good runner, but that puts him in danger. It puts him in harm's way, and he's always hurt. The other thing is he doesn't throw the football well. It's been regression. When he does throw it, he throws it to the opponent. That's a problem. Last year, health was a major issue, but when he was healthy, he threw for two touchdowns and threw six interceptions. The year that his best season team-wise, he threw for 15 touchdowns. Now,
he ran for seven or eight.
Okay,
yeah,
but still, I
hear you.
Come on.
I was not sure about Jones. I've vacillated a bit.
So we both have, right?
I think everybody has. I didn't love when they drafted him. I was actually in Tennessee that night. Me and Tiki were having a beer. We just finished up our show, and we were watching on the big board at the old national show when they drafted him. I'm like, Daniel Jones? Even Tiki was like, oh, I don't know this guy. You know, so I wasn't all in, obviously, when they drafted him. But when he came off the bench a couple of games in against Tampa and he was running wild and he was making plays, I'm like, wow, this guy's pretty interesting. And then I led my mind to a place where, well, I know he didn't play with much NFL talent at Duke. If you surround him with, you know, big receivers, guys with elite separation, a big-time O-line, and the concepts, which he did have good, strong, forward-thinking, progressive offensive concepts at Duke. But I thought he was playing with, like, C-level players. So I remember saying to myself, well, if you just get him the stars, maybe he can be a star. And then he just couldn't hold on to the football. And then the fumbles, the picks, the sacks, the injuries. And then out of nowhere, he has this really inspiring season a year ago. The Giants overachieve, and here we are kind of rethinking who he is. He is who he is. He's interesting. He's talented. But he'll never be elite,
and
period.
Here was the nail in the Daniel Jones coffin for me was last year when they had three quarterbacks play. You tell me of the three, behind the same offensive line, same weapons for the most part. I know each week changes with certain guys being healthy or not, but in general, three guys, Tyrod Taylor, Tommy DeVito, I almost said Danny DeVito, Tommy DeVito and Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Jones was the worst of the three.
And he was really the only one who didn't get Jalen Hyatt involved
That's
at all.
What I
Remember
mean.
That highlight? We saw a little snippet like after Jones hit the bench.
Right.
So we're on the same page. I understand why. Listen, if I was hanging on to this notion, let me personalize it for a moment. If I was hanging on to this thought that with a better O-line and better players and better coaching that Zach Wilson could morph into something meaningful and he's done nothing, right, then I've got to show the same consistency. And I have with Daniel Jones over the years, like, boy, if you just get him this, that, and the other thing, maybe he can grow into something beyond what we thought he could. And he did for a minute. But the money is what blurs and distorts his future. If he was making manageable money, 25, 28, that's different than 42, 43, 45, which what he's due moving forward, which obviously just simply is not going to work.
Yeah, but BT, there's also got to be a different way we evaluate quarterbacks. Because even with Daniel Jones, I remember watching him in his first preseason thinking, wow, maybe they have something here.
Like, you mean his rookie year? Like
yes,
the first okay.
preseason rookie
gotcha.
Year. There's a difference between, because we've seen it with the Jets so many times where they have these quarterbacks who just don't belong. What the hell is it? Whether it's McElroy, what's the kid from Penn State?
Hackenberg.
Well, you see these guys are like, geez.
Yeah, I know, dude.
They're just not, and even like Darnold to a certain extent, or Zach Wilson. Like, you see these guys and you're like, eh. With Jones, it was like, okay, maybe he's got something. But there's a difference between that and the total bust and an actual good quarterback.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be...
Or an elite quarterback.
Elite quarterback. It shouldn't be, well, he needs everything else around him. Yeah, okay, well, what quarterback on earth wouldn't be better with the best offensive line, with the best weapons, with the best head coach? Of course you'd like that. It's just not realistic. So you need to find the quarterbacks who, no matter what the circumstance are, like Joe Burrow with a beat-up offensive line taking the Bengals to the Super Bowl. The talk wasn't, oh, my God, well, if Burrow only had a good offensive line, it was, oh, my God, Joe Burrow's so good that even with a beat-up offensive line, he took his team to a Super Bowl.
It's a really important point. Think about the conversations around who the Bengals should draft a couple of years ago when they took Ja'Marr Chase. They were thinking about Penei Sewell, who, by the way, would have been a stud because he's a stud now. He's a superstar. But that just illustrates how broken the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line was. I think Ja'Marr Chase was sixth overall. And I think it was six or seven right in that neighborhood. And the overwhelming prevailing thought was, you've got to get your young quarterback O-line assistance. They didn't. They went with Ja'Marr Chase. The O-line got a little bit better, but he made it functional. You've got to see things. You've got to get rid of the ball fast. You've got to take average,
right,
and not the Chase's average, but now I'm getting away from Burrow. But the great quarterbacks take good receivers and make them great.
Mahomes does that.
Yes.
They lose Tyreek Hill, he still goes out there and wins Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the great quarterbacks, I think maybe more importantly, take nobodies and make them functional. And
right.
Daniel Jones has never done that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.